When you think of yourself more highly than you should, that's called pride, but you're deceiving your own self, the Bible says. How many of us are deceived into thinking we're better than we really are? Well, that was the Edomites, a good warning for us to beware of.
Pastor Brett Metter with Edom's example for how pride blinds, leading only to self-deception.
The Lord says, I hate the proud look. That's the problem with the Edomites. But also, notice it says, the pride in thy heart hath deceived thee. Do you understand that self-conceit is nothing but self-deceit?
Obadiah's brief but powerful prophecy confronted the arrogance of Edom, a relatively small nation known for trusting in its own wisdom and strength. And turning to the Old Testament in today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter examines a word from the Lord given the prophet Obadiah to announce how God would bring nations against the deceived, boastful people of Edom in judgment. And we're so glad you've joined us for today's Word in this brand new year. Pastor Brett, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Kurt. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you, Brett. You know, it's really hard to believe that we're now in 2026. Do you remember the turn of the millennium, all the talk of Y2K and how the world might just stop working?
Oh, yeah.
Yet here we are, right?
It's amazing how much time has gone by even since then. But yeah, I remember when everybody was so alarmed by that. But don't you think if we knew what was going to happen in 2025, we would have probably not been that concerned about the 1999 to 2000? Who would have thought we'd be where we are today?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we are going to go back to a different timeline right now, somewhere around 853 BC. It's another one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. The prophet and the book is Obadiah. Pastor Brett, this book is only 21 verses, yet it packs a very powerful punch, doesn't it?
Yeah, isn't that true? It really is an amazing book. It's tiny, but, you know, it's quite a warning. You know, I think that very first part of the book, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Mm. You know, it's interesting because he's talking to one of the three cities he deals with is Petra, that great rock city, one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. They were known for being an impenetrable fortress. But the Lord says to the people, you know, you guys are deceived by your own pride. Self-conceit is self-deceit. And that's kind of what's going on there. And the Lord's going to give a dire warning to the people of Edom.
Well, thank you, Brett, for that introduction. And let's get started in the shortest book of the Old Testament, the book of Obadiah, with a message titled, A Minor Prophet with a Major Message. Here's Pastor Brett Metter.
The book of Obadiah is small but mighty. It's called a minor prophet, but I would say it's got a major message and one that is worthy of our study today. And it's in the scriptures for inspiration. All scripture is given for, you know, by inspiration, God breathed, for instruction and correction and reproof. All these things, it's good for us to read the book of Obadiah. There's some good things we're to learn from this. And even though it's a minor prophet with a major message, only 21 little verses, so it's not a long book. But the cool thing is, it's got kind of a heavy theme, but it's a good reminder for us of what not to do. In fact, the theme of the book of Obadiah is the doom of Edom. And some of you might say, Edom, what does Edom have to do with anything? Well, it's interesting. Edom sort of gets a record in the Bible. It's not the record you'd want to have. But of all the nations, you know, if you think about all the nations God talks about in the Bible, that he's going to judge and pour out his wrath upon. He talks a lot about Israel because they're his children, the children of Israel and their rebellion. So you do get a lot about the judgment of Israel and Judah and the northern 10 tribes, Ephraim. But who gets the second most judged and talked about nation of God's wrath being poured out on them? As it turns out, the Edomites, more than anybody else. They were arguably the most judged people outside of the people of Israel in the Bible. The prophets foretold the doom of Edom more than any other nation in all the pages of Scripture. Now, you might ask why. Obadiah sums it up all in a nutshell, why they're given to such doom. And he's going to explain why all this is going to go down the way it is and stuff. But you kind of have to understand the Edomites before you can really understand the book of Obadiah. So I want to go through a little history of the Edomites and talk about that first. Then we'll dive into the book, the 21 verses. So when it comes to Edom, who are the Edomites? Well, the Bible tells us. In the book of Genesis, you know, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham, at that time his name was Abram, And he gets this great blessing from God, you know, the Abrahamic covenant, where God makes a covenant, says, out of your seed, Abraham, we're going to make a mighty nation out of you, the Lord says, and it's going to be through you and Sarah. Well, if you recall, Abraham and Sarah waited and they waited, but when they got up in their 80s, they're kind of like, okay, we need to help the Lord out. This isn't happening. A child, you know. So Sarah says, hey, here's my young handmaid Hagar from Egypt. Abraham, sleep with her. She'll have a baby, and then we'll see the promise of the Lord. And Abraham's like, cool, whatever. And he goes into the tent, and she becomes pregnant. And she gives birth to a son named Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. It was a big mistake that Abraham had made because he was trying to help the Lord along. Whenever you're doing that, Lord, let me give you a little help here. I'm going to make these things happen. You always end up in trouble. But the Lord says, Abraham, that wasn't the promised child that I was talking about. It's going to be through you and Sarah. So eventually, in her 90s, she becomes pregnant and gives birth to Isaac. And Isaac would be the father of the Jewish side of that. So the Arabs were Ishmael, Jews were Isaac. Well, after Isaac, his son, Abraham, Isaac, and then there was Jacob. And Jacob would be the next father. But that's an interesting thing because it technically should have been his older brother, Esau. Jacob and Esau. Esau was the older brother, but remember, Jacob was able to trick Isaac, the father, into giving away the blessing and the birthright away from Esau to Jacob. And Esau said, I'm going to kill you. He said that to his brother who tricked him out of his birthright and blessing. But that's the Lord's plan. The plan of the Lord was to say, I'm going to use Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then out of Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons will be the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the way it would work. Well, Esau was so furious, he just said, I'm going to kill you. And so Jacob runs for his life. And he runs up to a place called Haran, where he goes to Uncle Laban. Remember the story, Rachel, Leah, the whole story of his two weddings. But it took just about 15 years for all that to transpire. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Jacob's off, you know, miles and miles away at Haran. And Esau says, I'm going to settle in a southern part of Israel and make that my kingdom and my people group. And so from the southern tip of the Dead Sea to the northern tip of the Red Sea, Esau sort of claimed his territory there. And then the Bible tells us about Esau. You know, he's not a forgotten guy. And the Bible tells us, in fact, in Genesis 36, 1, it tells us, now these are the generations of Esau. And then it says, who is Edom? That's what it says in Genesis 36, 1. These are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. And then also Genesis 36, verses 8 and 9, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir, which is the old name of Edom. Before it was Edom, it was called Mount Seir. And he says, Esau is Edom, and these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. So what we understand here is the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. Now, some of you that are history buffs, you'll bump into something a little strange. The Edomites are often treated historically as Arab people. But the Arabs were technically the descendants of Ishmael, if you remember the story I just told, and not the descendants of Esau. But why are the Edomites often lumped in with Arabs? Here's why. Esau married Ishmael's daughter. And so by marriage, Esau, they were already brothers, you know, cousins or whatever. But when they married together, it sort of lumped the Edomites in with the Arab nations. And that's why sometimes historically, you'll see people lump them together. But all that to say, if you kind of look at a map where Esau and his people settled, the kingdom of Edom, you can see that there's the Dead Sea. That's the Salt Sea there in Israel. From the southern tip of the Dead Sea to the northern tip of the Red Sea. That's the kingdom of Edom. So if you can picture in Bible times, the Edomites and the Israelis were constantly going at it in battle. Even though they were technically brothers, as they called each other, they hated each other. And all that said, they were great enemies. Now, interestingly, the name Esau is derived from the Hebrew word, the word red. Why is red always associated with Esau? Well, it's an interesting thing because in the Bible, it associates Esau with red in three main connections. When he was born, it said that he had a red complexion. I don't know what that means, but he's a red little baby when he came out. Genesis 25, 25. Also, do you remember what color the stew was when he sold his birthright to his brother for a pot of stew? It was a red stew, the Bible says. But even more importantly, this whole country of Edom, that region looks red. So Edom meaning red or a muddy red color, reddish sandstone, that is this region of the world. It looks very red, especially at certain times of the day. One of my favorite parts of going to this region of the world is when the sun starts to go down at night, everything just turns bright red, the sandstone and all that. But the Edomites would occupy this whole region, and there were three major cities that the Edomites had. Bozra, known for its style and fashion, that was sort of like the Paris of the Middle East, where people came for silks and fabrics and spices and all kinds of things, but it was the fashion center of that region of the world. The second city was Teman, and Teman was known for its philosophical and intellectual center. These were the brainiacs of that region. And then the Edomites also had one of the greatest strongholds of ancient times called Petra. The water system, the rain would fall off these cliffs and fall in this little aqueduct, and water would flow down. 1 inch of rain per year in Petra, but the ancient people that lived there could live for just 1 inch of rain the year and be perfectly fine because they had these cisterns carved out of this red, sandstone. But all that to say, the Edomites settled here. But what was interesting is before the 1800s, there was a doubt whether this place even existed. It was sort of like the lost city of Atlantis. Well, a guy came along, his name Johann Ludwig Burckhardt, who back in 1812 was trying to figure out, does this lost city of Petra really exist? They thought it was like Atlantis or some mythological city, but this guy was exploring this region of the world over in what is today modern day Jordan. And he was getting closer and closer, but the Bedouins and their tents and their sheep and their Mercedes, they were like, of course they have a Mercedes now, but they didn't. But anyway, he went in and he tricked them. In his studies, he realized the people that were supposed to be linked to the lost city of Petra were people that worshiped Aaron, Moses' brother. And so he kind of came in with his turban and kind of acted very, nomadic. And he said, I want to worship Aaron in the city of Petra. Well, that was the password. If you wanted in, these Arabs, they had to, by their religion, let this Johann Ludwig Burckhardt go in. So they brought him into the lost city of Petra. And that was the end of the secret at that point, because this Swiss explorer found it, brought an artist with him, and did all these artist renditions of Petra. And amazing stuff. You can look it up. It's kind of a fascinating story. And then after that, we all came as tourists and see it and stuff like that. But anyway, you say, what does this have to do with Obadiah? Well, this strong fortress city of Petra was part of the problem with the Edomites in their overconfidence and pride. Their three main cities that I told you, their fashion, their intellect, and their security. Those were the big things that the Edomites were prideful about. And so when we get to the book of Obadiah, we start to realize the Lord has it in for the Edomites. Why is that? The part of the story is the Edomites, of course, Jacob and Esau weren't best friends to start off with. But shortly after that, the Edomites would be always haters of Israel. And they hated the Jews, even though they were technically brothers. And now, a couple things that you should know about in the Bible, God forbade the Israelis to hate the Edomites. If you look it up, it's Deuteronomy 23, verses 7 and 8, where God says, I forbid you to abhor the Edomites because he's your brother. He's your brother. You're supposed to be nice to them. Even though the Edomites, did you remember when your mom and dad did that to you when you were a kid? It's like your brother or sister was pulling your hair and punching the face, and then your mom would say to you, be nice to your brother or your sister. Remember that? Some of your brothers and sisters were really good at that. I call them Eddie Haskell, but that's a whole other story. But anyways, that's the problem. The Edomites were constantly doing horrible things to the Israelis, but the Lord was saying, Israel, be nice to the Edomites. That's kind of a funny part of the story. But eventually, the Edomites were so bad at enemies, when David became king, he crushed the Edomites, conquered them, put garrisons throughout the land of Edom. 2 Samuel chapter 8 tells us about that. Solomon built a port there, a southern port on the Red Sea, and he also put horse stables down there. Uzziah started a navy down there, 2 Kings chapter 14, King Uzziah. But after King Uzziah, Ahaz, who was a king, bad king, he ended up losing the Edomite, their captives, when he was attacked by Pekah and Rezin. If you remember those guys in the Bible stories, they're in 2 Chronicles 28. So there's a history of kind of bashing back and forth between the Edomites and the Israelis. And then Judah would never again recover Edom as a conquered people. But there's something you should know. After the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, and this is part of the deal, the Bible tells us in several places that the Edomites rejoiced. They rejoiced at the fall of Judah. Psalm 137:7 tells us that. So the Lord says, you rejoiced at the fall of my people. And the Lord notices that. And all throughout the prophets, that's why the Edomites get the bad judgment from God. The prophets foretold the demise of the Edomites. Jeremiah 49, Edom's going down. Lamentations, even Solomon writes about the fall of the Edomites. Ezekiel, if you remember a few months ago, we were studying Ezekiel 25, where the Edomites are going down, the prophet said. Joel and Amos and Obadiah, all three of our recent studies have shown that the Edomites are going down. So the big question is, why does God in his word make the Edomites such a big deal? And I think it's because there's some lessons that God wants us in modern times to learn from this ancient conflict. And this ancient people group, the Lord says, I want you to learn from these people. That's why I put them in my word, and that he makes a major deal out of it. When God makes a big deal out of something over and over again, we should probably sit up and take note. Wouldn't you agree? So the book of Obadiah, though it's small, 21 verses, it's sort of the cap on top that basically seals the deal for us on the Edomites. And that's why Obadiah is such an important deal. So let's take a look. Verse 1 here in Obadiah says, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Man, when the Lord says, hey, we're going to rise up in battle against, you got to kind of say, oh man, you got a problem. God's raising up battle against you. Now, a couple things I haven't talked about. Who is this prophet Obadiah? The answer, we have no idea. There are 12 Obadiahs in the Bible, we think. Now, are some of them the same Obadiah? We don't know. We don't know much about Obadiah. All we know is the meaning of his name. Obadiah means servant of Jehovah. That's all we know about this prophet. So it's funny because most of the other prophets we know a little bit about, but we really don't know anything about this. And we also don't know the timing for sure of this book, like when it was written or when Obadiah even prophesied against Edom. But there's a couple hints, and scholars have deduced the timing to be around 585 BC. Now, I wouldn't die on that battlefield and say for sure it's that, but let me just give you one of the evidences. I'll show you another one in a few minutes. But it's the language of verse 1 that stands out. There in verse 1 when it says, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, an ambassador is sent among the heathen. In the original Hebrew, this matches one of the other prophets. And it puts the timing at an interesting place. It's Jeremiah uses the same sort of phrasing in talking about the judgment of God upon the Edomites. And Jeremiah gave that prophecy right after the fall of Jerusalem. He speaks about that. And so many scholars say verse 1 gives us a hint that maybe Obadiah was a contemporary with Jeremiah after the fall, right after the fall. Remember, the fall of Jerusalem by the Babylonians was 586 BC. So they say probably around 585 is when Obadiah prophesied this. And I'll show you another smidgen of evidence of that here in a few minutes. So some people date it around that time period of the fall of Jerusalem. But look what the Lord says in verse 2. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. This is an interesting question. Like, are you despised by God? Does God hate people? The answer is yes, by the way. Speaking of Jacob and Esau, the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. As it turns out, the Lord says, you are small and you are despised. Now, we could also make the argument that the Lord is saying you're despised by the other nations around you. And that is true too. Historically, the Edomites became despised because they were so hoity-toity and wealthy, and they were all safe in their little stronghold, and they started to rest on their laurels and be sort of cocky, if you could understand. Sort of like, yeah, we're better than everybody else. And they sort of had an attitude. And so people started not liking the Edomites for their attitude. Like, you can even see that today in certain cultures and people groups. I won't say anything about those cultures or people groups, but you know, some people are more prideful than others. And a lot of people in the world think we Americans are the prideful ones, and that could be very true. We can talk about that too in a minute. But they felt basically secure and safe, and so they were despised by the surrounding nations. And then the Lord, now in this book of Obadiah, he's going to list seven sins of the Edomites. Here's the seven reasons why the Lord says, I'm going to thump you. You're going down. You're going to be history, literally. It's because of these seven sins. And the first sin is that most dastardly of sins, according to the Bible, the sin of pride. And we see that in verses 3-6. It says in verse 3, it says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that's Petra, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though you exalt thyself as the eagle. What country would exalt themselves as an eagle? That's crazy. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? This is King James' way of saying, you guys are prideful. You think you're in your cleft of your rock there, safe in Petra and all that, but you're gonna fall. You know, you're big. You think you're big like the eagle or nesting among the stars, but he says, I'm gonna bring you down from your high horse. Almost like the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's kind of what the Lord's saying here. And he's saying, you know, you've rested on your laurels, and even if a group of thieves come in, they're gonna be able to rip you off. Like, this is an insult, really, to this prideful group who's saying, we've got it all dialed in and we're safe. And the Lord's saying, you're not safe. You think you're safe, but you're not safe. And so this issue of pride is what the Lord says is the first thing that's wrong. And by the way, of all the sins, pride seems to be one of the most dastardly. You know, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We know that Satan himself, who was Lucifer in heaven, his sin was that of pride. He is lifted up with pride. And that's why Satan actually fell. In Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord says this about these things. And this gets back to what God actually hates. Proverbs 6 verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, that's the very first thing. A proud look. And then the rest of it's pretty bad as well. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. Man, this is a list worthy of thinking about. Lord, I don't want to be a part of these things that you hate, that are an abomination to you. But isn't it interesting? The very top of the list is a proud look. Not just a proud heart, but just even having the look of pride. What does prideful look like? There was a young pastor story that I've heard where he was a new pastor and he was really kind of insecure, but the congregation was seeing the new pastor, and he came walking in to the service and everybody's looking at their new pastor, and he walked in with a very smart look, and he walked in with his Bible and kind of like, you know, very authoritative. He walked in and then he got up on the pulpit, and this was his first sermon. But you know how sometimes when you're public speaking and you're not really used to it, he got all disheveled and he sort of lost his place, and it just kind of fell apart there at the pulpit. He was fumbling through his notes, and everybody just felt so awkward. And eventually he just really got so frustrated. He finally just said, you're dismissed. And he walked out with his head low, and he walked out depressed and sad because he totally choked. Well, the old man deacon leaned over to his wife and said, if he would have walked in the way he walked out, he would have walked out the way he walked in. I thought that's pretty good. That's the proud look. The Lord says, I hate the proud look. That's the problem with the Edomites. They had a proud look, but also notice it says, the pride in thy heart hath deceived thee. Do you understand that self-conceit is nothing but self-deceit? When you think of yourself more highly than you should, that's called pride, but you're deceiving your own self, the Bible says. How many of us are deceived into thinking we're better than we really are? Well, that was the Edomites. A good warning for us to be aware of. Be careful of this issue of pride. The Lord hates that. And this is the first sin of the Edomites that God says, this is why you're going down. You're prideful.
Pastor Brett Metter noting the destruction surrounding the sin of pride drawn from the prophet Obadiah's proclamation of the Lord to the people of Edom. And there's more to come next time in this message titled A Minor Prophet with a Major Message in this New Year. And you're listening to Today's Word. For those of you who don't know Brett Metter, he's the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just south of Portland, Oregon. Our vision on Today's Word is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. If you missed any portion of this message, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett Metter will continue this message in Obadiah, and we'll see why it's not a good idea to be hostile toward God's people, Israel. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.